Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Corey Curtis with us in the 8 o'clock hour for his weekly visit. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, it has been an interesting spring / off season to this point for the Tennessee Volunteers football team as it relates to Chaz Coleman. We've discussed it here on the show. He has not been around for Tennessee's spring activities. As summer workouts had begun, apparently he wasn't around for that either. And some interesting stuff going on over the weekend, which started, I think, like Thursday evening. I think Chris Lowe joined Fox Sports Knoxville last week and basically was like, yeah, at this point, I'd be pretty surprised if he plays football for Tennessee this fall. Which, you know, we discussed, I think, after we got off the show on Friday. I was like, can you imagine if they go through this entire process and you had Boo Carter and all that stuff that went down last year? And to the point where, like, Boo Carter pretty clearly probably should have been kicked off the team last year, wasn't, went out there and played terribly, and now he's transferred and is out there with Deion in Colorado. Chaz Coleman, basically their prized guy in the transfer portal this year, and has not been around. And we've talked about some circumstances behind that. I mean, he's got some personal stuff going on. Apparently there may be a little bit of homesickness involved with it as well as some other stuff. So whatever the case may be, he's not there at this point. And then Doug Matthews went on the radio this weekend and said that he was off the team. Like he had been kicked off the team and it was over with. I think Brent Hubbs at VolQuest has come out since then and says that is not true and that Coleman is still on the team. But the fact remains, Joe, regardless of all that, he's been basically nowhere to be found. I think he's back in Knoxville this weekend, but he hasn't been at the facility, so there's all this other stuff floating around there too. It doesn't look good on the Chaz Coleman front right now as it relates to the Tennessee Volunteers. And much, number one, if he's ever going to play for him. Number two, if he is, what is he going to be at this point? I think there's also that you factor into this as well. But either way, it's not a great situation for Josh Heupel and the Tennessee football team as it relates to Chaz Coleman right now.
No, it's not. And, you know, the difference between this one, although Bukar, tremendous talent, and you knew that he was an important part on paper going into last year's team, right, on the defense and as a return. Like, important. Not as important as this guy, right? To me, on this defense, when you look at otherwise at that position, the lack of productivity of proven talent. He's just a much more important part, I think, of this team than Boo Carter was to that team. And different situations, obviously. And honestly, I don't know what this situation is. You heard a lot of different things. A lot of different things have been reported and mentioned in regard to this. And then, you know, you have the whatever is going on with him, you have the Insta post or whatever with the money, which just doesn't help at all. And it's like when you do that, it's just harder to sell the other stuff that there's something else, you know, something going on that's making it difficult. And if you're Tennessee, to me, like you have to take this as far as you can take it, I think, right? Like you have to try to salvage this, but it just seems like there's a sense of resignation, you know.
Well, we're reaching the point of no return. Yeah, we're reaching the point of no return. It's in that way, I think it is kind of similar to the Boo Carter thing, where, you know, you're going through your spring practices, and I go back to the other teammates that you have. Like at some point, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, "We're putting in all this work, and you're not right." Like this doesn't mean a whole lot to you. And I think to a certain degree, you know, teammates in there. It is a different era in college sports. There are money things that are out in the open now that people are tied to, and I'm not saying that that's what this situation is, but at some point you reach and I think you saw this with Boo Carter last year, And I don't think you're that far away from seeing it from Chaz Coleman if it continues to go this way. The guys in the locker room are going to look at you and be like, hey, man, screw you. Like, we're putting in all this work and you're not, and then you think you're just going to show up after that? I think we're getting pretty close to that.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I also think that a lot of those guys, when it comes down to it, you know, especially like the veterans, the starters on that defense, they look around and look at like what they're lacking at edge. And if like, he is a talent, like there's no doubt. I mean, you look at the film from last year and know he's a talent. Like, there's probably also, if he ever were to say at any point, again, it's got to be real soon here, okay, like, you know, can we try to clean the slate? I'm here. I'm going to work. You know, then I think he'd be like, yeah, we need the dude. You know, like there is that, like, I mean, it's a big deal. If the rest of that defense, if they don't have anybody who can command a double team, can get to the quarterback in passing situations, everybody else suffers for it, you know? So, but here we're now it's June 1st. And this is when very serious work goes on. All these teams, I mean, you know, strength coaches spend more time with these players than any other coach or any other person in the program. And, yeah, this is the hard stuff that you can't miss much of it, man. And every day you miss is another – it gets a little bit more of, like,
well,
that what you're talking about, a little bit more resentment.
Well, not only that, not only the resentment part of it, but has he done anything? Like, has he worked out?
That's a good question.
Because if he hasn't, like, if he's gone this entire offseason and he just hasn't done anything, it's do you think you're just going to magically step on the field in August and get through training camp and be ready to play SEC football by the time late August, early September rolls around? If you think that that's going to happen, I'm here to tell you it's not. And that's basically what Chris Lowe's point was. I mean, I'll read the quote that he had on Fox Sports Knoxville. Said, quote, but as little as he's done, both in spring practice and offseason workouts, let's say he did play. Let's say this thing works out, and for the kid's sake, I hope it does. How ready will he be to play come preseason camp in August when you kick it off there in early September? He hasn't done anything, end quote, from Chris Lowe. Like, that doesn't sound good.
No.
Like, either way, if let's say he comes back at this point, when's he going to be ready to play?
Yeah. And the thing is, if that's the case, that, again, there's not a hang up on something. It's not just like, I don't know if I want to be there, you know, whatever. I'm from Ohio. I don't know if I want to be that. If it's but you're not even putting in the work, then there is something seriously going on with him. Then you probably just need to cut your losses.
Yeah.
But then you get into, you know, the money aspect of like recouping money, right?
Yeah.
You know, these are contracts. They do sign contracts. You know, they're carefully phrased so no one thinks that you're, you know, just getting paid to play football, because my goodness, we couldn't do that. This is amateur college athletics, by golly.
Right.
These student athletes aren't getting paid to play football, but there are contracts. You try to get you try to recoup the money, and I don't know. Is there anybody out there in the portal? I mean, it's like, there are some, you know, people out there. Anybody who's unclaimed at this point probably isn't going to.
Well, one thing we could put to bed, like, there's like all these Ohio State fans keep talking about how he's going to end up there. It's like, well, guys, the spring portal, he can't hop back in the portal until next year. Like,
yeah.
He's not going anywhere now.
Right.
Until the portal opens up next time around.
Yeah.
So,
like,
it's not like he's going to be playing for Ohio State here in 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, there are people who, like, I know Texas Tech, I guess. I think that maybe they got a QB. I think they got another QB who you know, isn't going to make that, but just like a depth guy, but he's just out there available. But it's like people who, you know, who are available is one thing, but yeah, I mean, he might be done with football. And again, if that's the case, that sucks. I mean, you hate to see that with someone with this much ability. Maybe then he reemerges or whatever. He needs time away, but it's obviously it's a killer for Tennessee. And, you know, it's not like this is – I mean, the D coordinator was with him last year,
yeah.
You know. So I would think that if there were any sort of red flags that, you know, that they wouldn't have done what they did, right? I mean, that's a great – that's great to be able to have a coach coming in who was with a kid at a place and be like, okay, so, you know, all these – teams are always like trying to figure out who these guys are and asking people and stuff. I mean, you can't have much better situation than a coach who directly coached him in the last place.
Well, at least
something has happened.
Well, it all leads to the larger question of how good is this team going to be? You know, is he and if they don't have him, are they going to be able to generate any sort of a consistent pass rush, right? Like, because I mean, there's two, to me, major questions with them from a personnel standpoint right now. It's quarterback, obviously. What kind of play are they going to get from one of these young guys, whether it's McIntyre or Faison Brandon? That's the number one thing. And then number two would be, I mean, edge rusher. Like, they're going to have to find a way to generate some sort of a pass rush. And if they can't do that, they're not going to be very good, right? And what is that? And we've talked about the schedule and all that, but, like, right now, with as many unknowns as they've got at pretty important positions, like I think offensively, if they get good quarterback play, their receiving core has got a chance to be pretty good. Like I like their running back room. Their offensive line is largely together from last year. Like they've got some good pieces offensively to work with. I think right now you're just looking at quarterback and having no idea what that's going to mean. And edge rusher, especially if he can't play, I mean, they may not be very good in those spots.
And you think about recent versions of Tennessee football, that's where they've been strongest, really, right? Yeah. I mean, it's been a strength, depth, talent, you know. And again, that's why they invested what they did in this guy. It was clear that this is just a hole, and that this is where you go big in the portal. People complain about Josh Heupel not doing enough in the portal. That's a perfect example of, there you go. Yeah. Go get the best guy out there who has played for your DC, and it looks like it's blown up in their face.
So building off of that, what happens if the Vols this year are not very good? What does that mean for Josh Heupel? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We've gone through the Chaz Coleman situation in Knoxville with the Tennessee Vols. So all that leading up to this question, what happens this year, Joe, if Tennessee football is not very good, right? Like, I don't think they're going to bottom out and go like 4-8 or anything, but what if they're 6-6? What if they're 7-5 and you're looking at it and they're nowhere near college football playoff discussion by the time the season ends here? What does that look like to you? What does that mean, do you think, for Josh Heupel at this point?
Let's get to 24 as soon as possible, folks. Yeah. And everybody gets in. Woohoo! Yeah. I it's just like with a lot of questions like this, I always go to this. Maybe I go to it too often, but I believe it. Like, what's it look like?
I don't know that it matters if they're 7-5 or 6-6, what it looks like.
Well, I do, because like if they look like that, and like, okay, their defense, the Chaz Coleman thing is terrible. They don't have him. They can't get any pass rush. Their defense is bad. But they look like, oh, okay, they've got a guy at quarterback, you know. Faison Brandon is, you see it. And, you know, he makes mistakes. He looks like a freshman. He throws some picks, throws a pick six, lose a game, whatever it is. But also he wins some games. He gets better as the season goes on. At the end of the year, you're like, okay, next year that dude's going to be freaking good. So figure out the other stuff. You're quickly bouncing back. You know, there's a lot of other types of 7-5s. Well, first of all, I don't know. Like a 7-5. Yeah, 7-5 is not good.
7-5 will not go.
7-5 is not going to go over well. 7-5 is easy to see with the schedule. Actually,
their over under win total is 7.5.
Yeah, but still, like, okay, that 7-5 versus a 7-5 where, you know, you don't, like, you look at next year and you're like, I don't know, man. There's no, like, it's not obvious that they're going to have a really good quarterback next year. And, you know, you keep going with the young guy. Again, I'm sitting here talking about Brandon. And, you know, I mean, there's McIntyre's in the mix too. I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? To me, quarterback has to be resolved and resolved really well. And then I think it's a lot easier to serve, you know, to not be totally embattled at 7-5. And if it's not, then I think embattled is exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah, like, this may sound crazy because we're talking about basically two completely unproven quarterbacks at this point. I'm not as worried about quarterback as everybody else is. I understand why people are worried about quarterback. frankly, I've seen Heupel do enough at quarterback right now where I give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to figure out quarterback. Like, I just do. And maybe it's not perfect, but I mean, we've seen, you know, Hendon Hooker play at an extremely high level at quarterback, and then we've seen Hendon Hooker get to the NFL, and it's, yeah, okay. Not great. We've seen him take Joe Milton from borderline a disaster in Michigan to a serviceable quarterback in the SEC. You know, he got to the college football playoff with Nico. He took, you know, a no-name guy and Joey Aguilar, and he led the SEC in passing last year. So the track record is there for Josh Heupel when it comes to quarterback. It's a different situation because you're talking about two really young guys that have played basically zero college football at this point. So we'll see. Yeah, I understand all that. I think as the season goes on, whoever it is, whether it's McIntyre or Brandon, will start to get better. I look at their schedule. You got Georgia Tech, which is not going to be a cakewalk. You got Texas. You got Alabama. You got A&M on the road. You got LSU coming in. And then who knows, like, how good South Carolina going to be? How good's Auburn going to be in year one under Golish? Like,
I mean, South Carolina could be pretty freaking good this year.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, some of that's going to depend on, you know, how good is Sellers. But, like, yeah, like, how good's Vanderbilt? I have no idea. You got to go on the road to Vanderbilt this year. Yeah. So, you know, you could be looking at, to me, anything. Like, if I'm operating within the scope of realism, I think anything from, like, 5-7 to 9-3 is probably on the table. It'd be hard for me to imagine them going 10-2, 11-1, but I think anything within that range is probably on the table for Tennessee this year.
Yeah.
And those are wildly different outcomes when you talk about both ends of that spectrum.
Oh, no doubt. No, I think I think that's probably fair that 9-3 is probably the ceiling. I mean, what are you, like, wins that I would give them? I mean, that's the thing, man. That game at Georgia Tech actually is a sneaky huge game. On the road, game two, between Furman and Kennesaw. But, yeah, like, even
the wins that I absolutely give them are Furman and Kennesaw, and just because it's Tennessee and Kentucky in that history, I might throw them in there. Those are the only ones I'm giving them.
Yeah, you know? And even Kentucky and Arkansas, it's new coach stuff, and it's that stuff can be unpredictable. Yeah, right. The history with Kentucky would say there's one, and at Arkansas should be one too. But okay, so they're locks for four.
Yeah, if you
factor they should beat Auburn at home. I mean,
should,
but yeah, no, it's. You're right. I think that is a wide range of realistic outcomes there. And, it's the high end of that is, wow, what a freaking coaching job by him. And then, you know, if you're 5-7, then he's absolutely going to be one of the top coaches listed in 2027 on the hot seat. And that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, as well as he's done, it's still Tennessee invests at a championship level. You know, they do. There's nothing that I have been – we don't have, like, hard numbers on all this stuff, but they invest at a championship level. And there's just too many things. And, look, some of this stuff, like this Chaz Coleman thing, has a long – and
that factors
up,
in.
Yeah, like at some point it's like, okay, is there some level of maybe either missing stuff or just not being quite – running tight enough ship or whatever. And it may all be bad luck, but at some point, bad luck after bad luck after bad luck starts to, you know, look like there's something missing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they do have a lot of big games at home, right? Like, Texas is at home. Alabama's at home. LSU's at home, right? So they've got a lot of their big games that they play are at home. I mean, their toughest road game is probably A&M on the road would be my guess. So that part of it's good if you're looking at the schedule. You've got, you know, a lot of your bigger matchups are going to be played at Neyland Stadium. Now, you know, they lost some big games in Neyland Stadium last year, right? I mean, Oklahoma came in there and beat them. Vanderbilt came in there and absolutely destroyed them at Neyland Stadium last year, right? So it's not like it's some infallible place for them. You got to find a way to take advantage of that if you're Tennessee. I just – if they are, let's say they're right around where their projected win total is, whether that's either 7-5 or 8-4, and they're not in the college football playoff, like, Tennessee fans are going to be looking around and they're going to be saying, what are we doing? Like, what's going on here? Like, why are we – you're investing all this money, you're asking us to pay all this money, and you guys can't get in the college football playoff? Like, that's just what it's going to be. And that's the environment we're in right now.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, like, there's been enough – I mean, Tennessee fans who pay attention – Like they have to know, like, this year is just – it's an in-between year. And it's not to say that that's acceptable given what everybody's being asked to do, but, like, no one's going to be surprised by that, right? Like, if they go 7-5, no one's going to be shocked by that. It's going to be very disappointing. But I still –
Yeah, but last year was kind of supposed to be that, the in-between year, because you lost your quarterback and you brought in somebody random off the street. Like, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of patience for that. For Tennessee fans.
Yeah, well, and that's where it's like, I guess it just depends on your perspective. I think some people have more patience than others. I look at it like it's a true freshman and a redshirt freshman. Now, you could have gone in the portal and, again, tried to get in. Boy, good thing they didn't get in the Sorsby sweepstakes.
But grief.
But, imagine. But, you know, you could have tried to do that, and they didn't, and they're going. So it's like, is there grace? Again, to me, it does matter if it looks good there. Like, if it looks like, okay, we've got one of the dudes next year in 2027, like, this is going to be, like, he's going to be a guy who, like, we have a difference maker at that position. At the end of the year, it looks like that, even at 7-5. I just think that's a big difference between knowing. You know?
I hear you, but the response to that is going to be, like, well, if he showed that much as a true freshman, the rest of your roster should be at a point in year six where if you get that level of play out of a freshman – you ought to be winning some games because of the rest of your roster around him at that point.
Yeah.
Like, that would be, I think, what my argument would be. Like, if he shows enough where you feel that good about him at the end of the year, you ought to be about 9-3 this year. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's year six. It's time to get going.
So then again, it's like, so did you lose, 38-35,
That's the roster. I mean, you brought in this DC. Yeah. If your defense is a disaster, that's on you.
So does the Chaz Coleman thing, does it count more against you at that point, or does it become an excuse?
It probably starts to count more against you. I don't know. That's a good question. I know Tennessee fans would love to get through a season without having to discuss somebody's off-the-field stuff that is directly harming your football team like they have the last couple of years. I mean, that cannot keep happening under Josh Heupel.
No.
And maybe it's just extremely – bad luck on all three of them when it comes down to Nico, Boo Carter, and this. And they're all completely different situations, and I get that. But when that's happening to you and it's not really happening all that much to everybody else, you're not gonna win very many arguments with the fan base that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving grace on Nico and separating it from these two. But you're right. They all count together. These last two, it's like, okay, what? Somebody missed something, right?
Yeah.
Keith says, if they get rid of Heupel, I'm worried we'll be in another 20 years of irrelevance and coaching carousel. Maybe. Maybe you'll get the greatest coach ever at the next time. I mean.
Who knows?
I will say that, like, if they get to the point, they're not getting rid of Heupel this year, and they shouldn't. He shouldn't be on a hot seat right now. If he's on a hot seat in 2027 and you've kind of seen the level, then I think it's fair to look at, okay, who can take this to championship level?
Yeah, to me, this is a very important year for, like, determining long-term trajectory of the program. I mean, look, Finebaum this offseason has already said he feels like Tennessee football program's going the wrong way, right? Like, I mean, he feels like it's plateaued. So
Finebaum says stuff.
He does. He does.
Friend of the show.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Vols. We will get into the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program today for his weekly visit. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. A-Dub on the YouTube chat says, Heupel has yet to find his guy at QB, so I guess we're hoping Faison Brannan can be that guy. Yes and no. Like, he found his guy in Nico, and then
– well, Hendon Hooker,
then he
too.
Left.
Yeah. Found him, too.
That's true. I mean, Hooker was technically a – I believe he was a Pruitt transfer, but he did find him.
Yeah.
He was the backup, and he wasn't.
He was pretty great. And look at both of these young players are really promising. They're – big-time recruits.
Yep.
So, as we know, that often doesn't pan out. with any program. You look, and Tennessee has a history just like, but you know, if you're a Tennessee fan who focuses on that, you look at Harrison Bailey and all these guys you thought were going to be great and that didn't pan out. Happens all over the place.
Sure.
You don't know. I tend to agree with you. Like, for the most part, he's probably going to get good QB play. I mean, obviously he maxed out Hendon Hooker.
I mean, I think the offense is designed for that to some degree. Now, the question is what level, right? Like, there's a difference between adequate quarterback play and quarterback play that elevates and wins games, because that's what they're going to need. If they're going to make the college football playoff this year or be in that discussion, they're going to need quarterback play that elevates and wins games.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you like, especially when they got Chaz Coleman, we talked about it. It was like, okay, that defense could be another one of those years where that defense, you know, makes it so there's not that much pressure on the offense. And again, I still like a lot of what they have on defense. So there's still unknowns, players who can emerge, but that's just such a big hole if that's what it's going to be. And it appears that's what it's going to be.
According to Govall's 24/7. I'm looking at the top Tennessee football recruits of all time. And I'm sure this only goes back so far as to when these players were ranked. Can you name the number one by the numbers Tennessee football recruit of all time? It was in the class of 2009. It's Bryce Brown.
Bryce Brown.
Who did basically nothing.
God. Yeah, that's so funny.
Number two, Eric Berry. That one worked out nicely.
That one's pretty good. I mean, where's Peyton?
Peyton is...
Three is Nico.
Down the list. Let's see here.
That's weird because, like, in my mind, I remember Peyton. I remember, I went to Notre Dame, and there's all this buzz about Peyton Manning. This is, like, back in the days when recruiting rankings were... It was, like, Tom Lemming and stuff, like Blue Ribbon Magazine.
I've not seen him. Maybe this only goes back.
This is
a certain amount.
Yeah, then that means this is probably since like Rivals,
probably.
Which is essentially about 2000,
okay.
2001.
That would make
sense.
Yeah,
because to me, to me, Peyton probably would be. I mean, as I recall it, probably as talked about a recruit as I can remember for Tennessee, as you would expect, with Archie and everything like that. But, yeah, Bryce Brown.
Before recruiting rankings dominated like they did for a long time. And now people just look at it and they're like, oh, cool. So what about the transfer portal?
Let's go look at that. How about the transfer portal rankings? Yeah.
Exactly. So
Bryce Brown. What happened to Bryce Brown?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Man, they have – you think about like Tennessee –
I think he played in the NFL. I think he played for the Eagles. Let me see.
I mean, you think about it, they had Travis Henry. Like their backfield – back in like the early 2000s, like utterly ridiculous.
Bryce Brown played 4 years in the NFL, 2 for the Eagles, 1 for the Bills, 1 for the Seahawks.
Okay. So, not bad.
No, not bad.
I mean, Tennessee, though, remind me, it was like Travis. Do they have Travis Stevens and Travis Henry?
Yeah.
Am I having – and somebody else, too. Oh, Jamal Lewis, right?
Yeah, they did.
All at the same time? Isn't that right?
I don't know
if
it was all at the same time.
They were all at the same time, but they were very close.
I think 1 year they were all on the freaking roster.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's pretty good room.
Yeah.
God. Pretty good stuff. So, very important year for Josh Heupel coming up. We'll see what happens on that front.
But let's talk about the good old days.
Let's talk about the good old days. That's right. Okay, scale of 1 to 10. Let's start with the Stanley Cup final here. What is your interest level in the Stanley Cup final, given the matchup of Vegas and Carolina, which I will say I don't think a lot of the country is very excited about, Vegas-Carolina?
No. Look, it's a non-traditional market, non-superstar Stanley Cup final, right?
For the most part.
I mean, a lot of great players, but like, there's no one who, there's no one who on his own is going to bring people to
probably
watch
not
this.
Like I would put Eichel almost in that category, and then there is the Marner like Toronto thing, which will people in Toronto will be watching it pretty heavily, but
that's true.
To your point, I mean, there's no Nathan McKinnon or Connor McDavid walking around in there.
Yeah, which again, that's hard to find anyway. Yeah. It depends on where you set the bar.
Right.
So maybe I'm setting it too high, but yeah, like my interest level is, a 7, and a lot of it is, like, I just really want Rod Brind'Amour and the Canes to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
this is their first time in the final since Laviolette won it in 06. And, you know, they've had really good teams. They've knocked on the door. They've lost a couple times in the conference finals before this. I think it'd be a great story. There's been all this, oh, they're going to go to Houston and, you know, all this stuff. And I think it'd be great to see them win it. It'd be awesome. And look, I just – it's just hard to like the Knights.
Yeah, mine's about a six. I'm going to watch it. It's hockey. It's the Stanley Cup final. And I'm pulling for Carolina. Carolina is not overly exciting, right? Like, they don't have the superstar players. I do love Brendan Moore. Like, I think he's a great coach. A lot of this, I think, is Vegas fatigue. Like, a lot of people don't like Vegas. I think that's going to make the final fun is, like, people rooting against Vegas. They're definitely the villain in this thing. So it's nice to have, you know, a villain when it comes to one of these championship series. But I don't think it's not a sexy – I think it could end up being a great series. I don't think it's a very exciting matchup for the general fan. Like, I don't know that this one's going to set, you know, ratings records out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the last couple of years, you've had, a great Florida team and the superstar in your game chasing down a cup, right? Like, with McDavid. Like, there's some pretty – even though it's Edmonton – like, it's some pretty compelling storylines.
Yeah.
Not really there this year.
And even with Edmonton, like, you know, just because of its history, I still think for the general hockey fan, plus just the Canada thing is, you know, and by the way, 1993.
Long time.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Sorry, Canada.
All right, flip it around, and same question on the NBA final. 1 to 10, rate your interest level.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd put it at an 8, a little bit more. Just because, like, I'm pretty into these Spurs now. Like, Wemby is a freak, but, like, that young team, man, they are fun to watch. They're a lot of fun to watch. And the Knicks are, too, and they've just been on a heater. I've never thought that much of the Knicks this year. But, well, I'll put it at a 7 because I still think it's going to be, like, the Spurs in 5.
Yeah, mine's about a 5 on that one. I just don't – you know, it's Knicks Spurs, which for me, like, I really don't like the Spurs. That dates back to me, my own personal fandom of the Miami Heat when they played them a couple times in the finals. I just don't like them. So there's that. You know, the Knicks don't really bother me. Like, the Knicks have been largely irrelevant for the most part of my life. So it's kind of cool to see them in the final. Like, that's the one thing that kind of intrigues me. I'm definitely rooting for the Knicks in this series, which is probably not the popular take, but that's mine. I'm rooting for it, but I just don't – I'm not convinced that it's going to be a great series. I'm hoping that it's going to be a great series. Not convinced that it will be.
Yeah. Spurs-Knicks, that they had one – maybe the most boring NBA final ever, by the way.
99?
Like 99. Just like,
yeah, Titans fans have been talking about that.
That's right.
99 NBA finals.
That's right.
The Titans that next year.
Followed up with the Super Bowl a few months later. Yeah. That is that. You never know. But, boy, I hope this series is more watchable than that one. Brutal. Mark H. does bring up the point. Don't forget, Cole Smith, Colton Sissons. The Golden Knights win.
Yeah.
You got that. I mean, Colton Sissons in particular. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I like Cole Smith and Jeremy Lauzon fine. To me, there's a difference between those guys and Colton Sissons being here for a decade plus.
A guy who, you know,
scored the three most important goals
legendary
in the history.
Yeah. Game ever. Yeah.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Shut up. Leave me alone, all of you.
Oh, yeah, Steve, you suck, Nico, greedy, burr, burr, burr.
Where's the discipline?
Yeah.
We need a hard ass in there.
And let me tell you about another guy who does awesome this week.
Dude, you all right? Why are you yelling at that guy?
They made my grandmother a whiskey-smuggling mule at a football game. That's illegal, and I'm calling the feds in to shut this down. Tell us your best smuggling stories.
They're rather loose over there at Michigan State with meth making.
Well, whatever. Screw you all.
White Sox! White.
It's time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. and served by the wine cellar in Hendersonville. Joe, the floor is yours.
All right, again, like the one where I'm like, the second one, we're like, rrr, rrr, what was that talking about? Do you know?
Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Dan Campbell? Okay.
Apropos.
I remember the one about Nico, no, you did that. But the Dan Campbell, it's the same impersonation. It's
not a lot of variants.
Yeah, yeah. You know, got to go play the hits, man. Got to play the hits. Actually, you playing that White Sox song, I actually almost want to pivot, but I'll save it. At some point, just a complete meltdown about the Detroit Tigers. I mean, just complete meltdown.
How many walk-offs did they lose this weekend? I saw at least one on Friday, right?
Yeah. They took the lead. They blew it. I mean, they blew a save in every game, I think. Yeah.
A lot of time left.
Yeah, a lot of time left. Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Only 11 and a half back of the Guardians.
Yeah, good. Only the worst team in baseball, so... I'll stick with what I was going to talk about today. So last week, you know, we had Charles on, and you know, good for Charles for, you know, coming on with us. He's actually going to come on with us tomorrow, right?
Cause he is.
He's got a wedding this week, but he's going to keep coming on with us, and you know, we'll see what happens with Charles on the writing front. You know, he's going to have a choice of jobs because he's really good. But it's like, you know, Yahoo and the decisions they made, not just him, but with some other people. Hard to believe. Same week, same year as the Washington Post dismantling the best newspaper sports section in the country, I mean, bar none. And then not long after that being like, I guess we should hire some sports reporters because, you know, people like to read about sports. And yeah. And then late last week. And this is personal, too. I mean, Michael Rosenberg is a buddy of mine for a long, long time. Worked with him at the Detroit Free Press. Has been at Sports Illustrated for 14 years. Friend of the show. He came on here and talked about his Brett Favre. He's the one who, you know, really did the investigation on the Brett Favre crap in Mississippi with the volleyball court and all that stuff. Laid off. Along with Greg Bishop. Hey, Greg Bishop, for people who have continued to read Sports Illustrated, look, I'm of the age where it was absolutely running to the mailbox every week to get my Sports Illustrated and reading it, and it was the absolute best of sports writing. It's what, you know, if you want to be a sports writer, again, at my age, my generation, it was the best, and it's what you wanted to be, it's what you wanted to do, and obviously the internet changed a lot of things. But what Sports Illustrated has done to savage itself, and these idiots who have bought it and have just dismantled it and crushed it and destroyed it and try to apply the brand name to things, it's just awful. And so, you know, friends, you know, who get laid off, this happens in a lot of businesses, but it's like, it's just really hard to see a brand like Sports Illustrated. And then previously to this, they did the Maven stuff, and it's just, you know, like some really just click mill stuff that, like,
it's gone immensely downhill.
Yeah, but now, and again, like, there's still good people there. I mean, Pat Forte is still there doing really good stuff in colleges, and Albert Breer's covering the NFL. They're not totally closing up the shop, but like Michael Rosenberg is as good as it gets. Greg Bishop as a feature writer, I'd put him up. I mean, Gary Smith to me is like, to me, the GOAT. I think he's the greatest feature writer ever. You know, Frank DeFord. I mean, obviously, all the legends of sports. Like Greg Bishop's stuff stands up in any era, and they laid him off, and it's just like, it's just hard to believe, hard to understand. And it just, this year is the year of, in case anybody didn't know, like, it really does not matter the quality of work you do. It doesn't, and that's very depressing.
It is.
So this is more of a depressed, downtrodden rant than me screaming at anything, because it's just like, some at some point you just get beaten down with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to Charles specifically, like you said, he'll be on our show tomorrow. He's not going anywhere. He's going to land somewhere. I'm excited to see where that is. He's very good. I mean, it's, and we see the messages that you all send us every week of how much you enjoy Charles. We very much enjoy Charles as well. So he's going to end up somewhere. I'm very excited to see where that is. It is it's a volatile time in the sports media industry. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, we were talking about this up in the Predators press box a few months ago. Like, there's a lot. There's some companies now that are going like just straight up AI. All right, like they're having AI do their like game reports and stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
Which
robots?
And by the way, which constantly have horrific mistakes in them.
Oh, all the time. Yeah,
I understand that these robots are smart, but like they really aren't reliable. Okay,
not yet.
Yeah. I mean, maybe at some point they will be. When they get reliable, that's when they kill us.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess then it won't really matter what happens in whatever industry. We'll all be dead. The Terminator plot finally comes true.
You ever told, every now and then when I use ChatGPT, which is not that much, but every now and then I just say, hey, thanks. Just want to try to get on its good side before it takes over. You know?
Oh, you're polite to it.
Yeah, hey, thanks.
That's
thanks
probably
for the
a good
answer.
Idea.
Appreciate
I've never thanked it. I've never thanked.
Appreciate it.
Sort of.
It always writes back and says, you're welcome.
That's nice.
Maybe it'll remember that before it's cutting my throat next time out when it grows a body for itself.
Well, so what? So we've got Claude, right? And what are the big
Gemini?
Google's a Gemini.
Yep.
Google is Gemini.
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yep. I hear a lot of talk about clog, not clog, Claude. Clog my brain and ears. But yeah, Claude. It just sounds scary. That Claude is like the name of a serial killer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of is.
He'll mess you up.
Yeah. Not messing with Claude. But if I come across Claude, I will try to be nice at least.
Is there an AI program entitled Clog? Because we may need to trademark that.
We may have to do something with that. Ed says, honest question, is the industry too saturated or is it the failure of the companies to adapt to certainly to the digital age. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't have time to even get into this. But certainly the internet changed everything. I'm old enough to have worked at newspapers when it was like, if you want to see what apartments are available or jobs available, you're going to buy our newspaper and open up the classified. That's
exactly
how you do it.
Yeah.
To what we have now. And so, yeah, some of it is that. But to me, it's also some terrible leadership. The Washington Post and Sports Illustrated, those are specific people. And I'll tell you, there are media companies that are doing well, okay? Those two places have had terrible, terrible leadership that have made terrible, stupid decisions that a lot of people could have told them before they made them and first guessed them, don't do this, but they did them anyway. So some of it is like, we got to go case by case on this.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next for his weekly visit. Looking forward to that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.